From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Perhaps the most contentious issue for the American civil rights movement in recent years has been affirmative action, and one of the most controversial figures in the debate over it has been Ward Connerly. This week, Connerly announced he's leaving the University of California's Board of Regents, where he served for 12 years. In 1995, Connerly led the region's successful effort to ban affirmative action in admissions throughout the University of California system. The next year, he campaigned for Proposition 209, the statewide ballot measure that prohibits racial or sexual preferences in hiring, contracting, and college admissions. Connerly has been vilified for his views, but says he'll continue his drive to dismantle affirmative action in other states. We spoke to Ward Connerly earlier today at his home. I noted that after racial preferences were banned in California, fewer Black and Latino students were admitted to UC schools. I asked for Connerly's reaction.
Well, I'm obviously disappointed, but in a way I'm also relieved that I wasn't hallucinating here about the extent to which preferences were being given. If you give people crutches and then you take them away, you should not be surprised when they stumble and fall, and that's all it is. It's a stumble.
What you essentially seem to seek is a race-blind society, and I guess some people would ask, is society ready for that?
Well, we may not be. I certainly hope that is the goal. It certainly was when I was growing up in the 60s, and that was what Dr. King was talking about, judging people by character rather than color. And certainly here in California, we are hard-pressed to define what race is. Is it skin color? Is it hair texture? Is it width of nose, size of lips? What is race? And so I think that as more of our people in this country marry across these lines of, quote, race and ethnicity, it behooves us to start trying to get back on track and remove race from considerations of government.
You've said affirmative action was never meant to be forever, but would you say that it has served a good purpose in some places, in some cases, in the short term?
Sure it has, and I've never disputed that. But is it right to treat people differently because society has certain goals? Some say yes, I say no. I say that affirmative action was not intended to be a permanent regimen of extra points here and different standards applied there and race consciousness in our society. That's not what I think affirmative action was designed to be.
And is this a time to drop it, in your opinion? And if so, why?
Well, certainly in my opinion it is, and that really is what I think most of the debate is about. As you look around our society and you look at all of the different venues in the arts and entertainment and business and sports and academic areas, you're hard-pressed to say that there is this institutional racism that affirmative action, in quotes, was designed to ameliorate. And I believe that while there is still some racism, if you want to, if you're assessing society, there's racism, there's sexism, there's homophobia. We're never going to get rid of all of that. And so at some point, it becomes a matter of diminishing returns. Have you squeezed out enough of these insidious practices? Have you achieved enough cultural change that you can now begin to move in a different direction? I believe we have.
You are Black and have been called an Uncle Tom and a traitor over the years. You called the statewide campaign in California against racial preferences ugly and dispiriting. I wonder if now, a decade later, when you look at the debate, do you see a change in tone at all, or a change in the discussion?
I do. It was ugly, and it was not the finest hour for a lot of people who ought to know better. When you have to resort to calling people those kind of names on an issue that is as sensitive as this, then it means that you really don't have many good substantive arguments in your tool bag there. But I've noticed over the last two or three years a fair amount of begrudging respect anyway from many of the news sources and many of those who have been very critical of me and my colleagues, and along with the whole university family on Thursday gave me a standing ovation. And it really reflected that there has been a change here in how they have viewed my performance here. I think they were basically good people. And it is that goodness that has caused us to disagree about this issue. There are many who still want to keep the training wheels on about race. They don't realize that in many cases they're doing great harm. It's goodness that's driving them. But they're forcing people who can stand on their own two feet to believe that it's okay mentally to think that society still owes them that extra consideration. And the day is going to come when they're not going to get it, and they're not going to be prepared for that change.
I understand you hope to get an anti-affirmative action item on a ballot in Michigan.
Anti-preference.
Why Michigan? There was that Supreme Court decision upholding affirmative action at colleges there.
Well, it was a mixed decision. It upheld certain approaches to, quote, affirmative action, and it turned down others. But Michigan certainly is a place that has been exposed to this issue for over a decade, and the citizens there genuinely understand what's been going on and don't agree with the Supreme Court decisions allowing the use of race to achieve diversity.
Ward Connerly is an outgoing member of the Board of Regents for the University of California. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Good to be with you, Jennifer.
You can hear an extended version of our interview with Ward Connerly at npr.org.